morning. It is a Peace Officer Day today. We've got Jason Marlowe, the information officer with the Iowa State Patrol in the Southeast Iowa District, joining us. Jason, good morning to you today. Good to have you back.
Good morning, Steve.
And we've also got the acting chief of the Burlington Police Department. He may, if tradition holds, may become the actual full-time chief. There has been a tendency for that to happen. In fact, I think, Jeff, you're telling me, I think the last time you were here that we're I think there was only, in my life here, which has been, well, I've only been here 44 years, but there's only been, I think, 2 years that you had anybody else in the department that was not promoted from within. And I think that was an outside, and obviously the recruiting or whatever, or the process goes through for all outside, everybody's all thrown into the hopper, but, I think you were here, were you not, when they had the an outside force? But it didn't last very long, did it?
No, we had a gentleman from Topeka, Kansas, was here in 94 and 95.
Okay.
Other than that, in my 29 years, it's always been in-house.
Okay. Staffing at the Burlington Police Department right now, are you at full staff right now?
We are not. We're in the process of hiring two more officers. We have two academy slots in the January Police Academy. We've got a handful of applicants that have gone through the process, and we've narrowed it down to three with two spots to hire. So hopefully toward the latter part of this month, early part of December, we'll have our decision made. We'll hire those two mid-December and send them to the academy in January.
And you've been relatively successful at finding quality candidates, is that right?
We've been very fortunate. I think it's a part of our location. Southeast Iowa is a great draw.
Being more of a small town as opposed to, or a small city as opposed to one of these big metro areas, they seem to be having all kinds of fits, aren't they?
I think people are looking for that family-oriented atmosphere, and Southeast Iowa definitely fits that. The way the climate is nationwide, I think it's going to be difficult to recruit to those larger metropolitan areas that you refer to.
We'll talk about the Iowa State Patrol. I know there's been some staffing changes there as I blew my bike by Jason yesterday afternoon. It was like, I said, I recognize that guy. It's Jason, you've been, I think, is it 22, 23 years now? Is that right?
Yeah, I started in 1996, so I guess 24 years, working on 25. Time goes fast.
Although the last, I was telling somebody about flying into Palm Springs back in the way back in 2019, and this is, I don't know if this year has been the most distorted time year of my lifetime, and I guess the question is, and maybe it's because we really don't know when this doggone thing is gonna be over, when it's gonna be done. I think the one thing we have found by talking to you, all of you guys, is that as far as law enforcement, it has not had a huge effect in terms of operations. Is that right, Jason?
Yeah, for sure. Our department, you know, obviously is a state agency, and one for the state patrol that's a division of the entire DPS. So that encompasses, you know, the DCI, the fire marshal's office, our narcotics investigation division. It is fairly broad in numbers, and we've been very fortunate as it relates to the health of our employees. I think there have been, you know, a handful of positive tests and even some potential exposures. But as far as being able to continue to maintain our workforce on a day-to-day basis, we've been able to provide those services. We have not been decimated, you know, by that type
right.
of virus or any other things for that matter.
Did it feel strange to not have any staff members on RAGBRAI this year?
Well, certainly that was a change. I'll tell you, you know, my year is often planned out not only with RAGBRAI but the State Fair, Old Threshers.
All of these events that you're going to be a part of, yeah.
Yeah, and Jeff would probably attest to this, but, you know, cops are very routine-oriented in some ways. Radio personnel, no different.
I had my whole summer all planned out, including a two-week family European vacation and a family reunion cruise around Norway. We planned that for 2 years.
Yeah. Well, the Marlowes weren't going to Norway, but it does affect you not only from a work-related, you know, profession, no matter what you do. But
you know, take RAGBRAI out of there. I hadn't missed a RAGBRAI in 40 years, and now this. And I don't know if this is. I don't know if it counts as missing it when it doesn't happen. I don't know.
I think you're okay. We'll put an asterisk by your streak and allow it to continue.
Okay. Well, we'll do it. Sort of like baseball. See, it's, everything has been changed in our lives, but everything. So much of it stays the same, doesn't it, Jeff? Really, in terms of operations. You've still got your shifts are still running the same way. You still are sending people out there. Now, the question is, the type of activities going on out there from a criminal element, has that changed any?
I don't know that changed would be the appropriate word. Crime still exists. It's always going to exist. It might be on a different scale based on what's available to people in society currently. Our officers continue to hit the streets every day. Public safety is not exempt from anything that's going on. As Jason said, we've had our downtime with some COVID exposures. We've had our downtime with some COVID positive tests. But that doesn't stop us from doing what we do on a daily basis, which is continuing to provide that service.
Do you? Is there any other? Is there any procedural thing you do? I mean, I'm going to guess. Is there mask wearing or hand? I mean, I'm going to guess. Obviously, at a crime scene, you're going to be. It's going to be a little bit different in terms of your preparation or what sort of things you have to do to stay safe, right?
Sure. Public safety is a little bit different than, say, an office setting. We don't have the luxury of going into a scene and taking the time to don or doff PPE. We have to be prepared to act. So from that perspective, preparedness starts being inside the building and moving outside.
Stopping a car on the interstate or any of the other things that you would be doing or any place that you might be stopping a car, is there any difference in, anything? You have no idea who you have no idea what may be in that vehicle. I guess, what do you take extra precautions, Jason, as well, or
sure,
not?
Sure, and we've been fortunate that early on in 2020, we were able to access some resources for, you know, all of the PPE and the things that we thought we would need, and we were able to distribute that rapidly to our employees, you know, for instances where they thought it was going to be necessary. But as Jeff mentioned, you know, sometimes you don't always have the opportunity to plan your day. Things change rapidly. And although you're prepared for that, you may not have the opportunity to put all of that gear on.
I was talking about staffing. Is your staffing the same as it was? Have you had any staff changes over this past year?
So I'll maybe take some of Jeff's thunder from the fact that we are also looking for people. I know he's like, don't take any of ours or don't recruit against the same people. But I think law enforcement in general nationwide probably has some challenges ahead as it looks at recruiting potential employees to replace those that have been in this profession for a long period of time. The Iowa State Patrol is a great example of that. In the next 10 years, it is estimated that nearly 50% of our workforce is eligible for retirement. What we found is when that eligibility rolls around for those employees, they usually act on it as soon as they can. It doesn't mean that we don't have some that will stay a little bit longer for a variety of reasons, but most of our employees, when they can retire, can retire. So if you look at nearly half of our workforce being eligible for that over the next 10 years, we've put in some plans in place that will hopefully allow us to backfill those positions, but we are looking for employees. As a matter of fact, we're going to start an academy in 2021. You can go to our DPS careers website. Just if you forget that, go to the Iowa State Patrol on a Google search and it'll lead you through that process.
A lot of colleges, universities, a lot of places have had training or they've had specific law enforcement degrees. I know Western Illinois, I think, had a pretty strong law enforcement. I'm not sure where they stand right now. Are you seeing any changes in the way that you can, in terms of finding and recruiting, or areas to find and recruit officers from?
We are, and you know, our traditional ways of finding employees not only involve strong criminal justice type programs at the colleges and universities, military personnel, those that have decided, you know, they're looking for a change from whatever branch of service that they were enrolled in at the time. But we're also looking at some other opportunities, people that are just wanting to make a difference.
Yeah.
And they've majored in something completely out of the realm of being a police officer and realize, you know what, I just didn't think it was going to be like this, or this is not what I was looking for, or another aspect of those that are wanting to make a difference. As Jeff alluded to earlier, it's more than ever critical to find qualified employees to fill those ranks.
As you look at the sea of law enforcement nationwide, I know we're in a different situation than you would be in Minneapolis or Washington D.C. or New York City or Los Angeles. But as you look at the whole landscape, law enforcement has, particularly with social media. The way that law enforcement, they've been brutalized basically on social media and mostly very, very unfairly through the course of time. How do you combat that, or can you combat anything like that on social media? I mean, you guys have social media too. What do you do when you see these harsh and absolutely untrue statements that are being posted?
Well, part of the beauty of our nation is everybody's entitled to their opinion. And we respect the fact that everyone is able to exercise their First Amendment right to free speech.
And you have somebody that's, is everybody, or is there one specific person that sort of kind of monitors social media for you guys?
We have Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages at the police department. We have a centralized location for information that we disseminate, but it's a command staff effort that we determine what information we think the public wants to hear. If we receive phone calls that they would like different information or additional information, we'll absolutely push that out as soon as we can.
Well, we keep on having stories. I have a story pretty much about once a week. We call it the stupid criminal story of the day, about the person who just cannot keep it inside. Maybe he robbed the bank, or he robbed the store, or did he do whatever he did, and he just can't resist telling somebody on social media. Is there somebody, I'm going to guess that, does that happen on the state patrol? Do you watch? I'm going to guess you guys look over the posts as well. Is that right?
I think it would be safe to say that social media accounts are important. And there have been times during, you know, simple investigations to maybe even more complex when those social media posts maybe provide some additional information to what's going on.
Let me talk about Crime Stoppers. Mary Mockholtz, there's a name that, from the past, that you might recognize. She was a champion of Crime Stoppers and a champion of basically the Neighborhood Watch program. I think you've got a relative. You sort of reconstructed a Neighborhood Watch program, didn't you, Jeff?
Yeah, Tammy King is our representative or our liaison to the police department for Neighborhood Watch. She's incredibly active, very interested in not only Burlington but Southeast Iowa as a whole. So she's a great resource for anyone who's interested in becoming a part of that. You mentioned Crime Stoppers as well. We maintain an active Crime Stoppers site. Are constantly getting tips. Sergeant Rob Rohr has done a great job with assisting us in maintaining our end of it, coupled with DESCOM, who brings in the tips and then forwards those to us. It's truly a team effort when it comes to that type of information.
Is that the same
with us? Yeah, the State Patrol as well as the entire department has a text line, a tip line. People call in information all of the time. Some of it is very valuable. Others, there's some frustration from a Crime Stopper standpoint. And I've talked to members of the public that say, you know, I've been calling in and telling you that this is happening in my neighborhood day after day after day. Why can't something get done about that? And I always tell those individuals to exercise patience. Sometimes investigations take more than just a few minutes or even more than just a few days. So we appreciate all of the public's cooperation and support. That is a valuable part of community policing and getting the trust of members of those communities that we live in to work hand in hand with law enforcement.
Now, you wear a number of hats. Obviously, you're an information officer, which means you're going to be at public events. You're going to be a public relations, officer as well for the patrol. But you're also, when there's something going on, whether it's in Burlington or West Burlington or the Des Moines County, you're also there as a peace officer to help in those cases too. Is that right, Jason?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm assigned to routine patrol and things of that sort when I'm not working for this aspect of my job. But, you know, the vast majority of things that I do now are school-related,
right,
as well as PIO-type operations.
All right. I think the last time you were on, we talked about something you said. You said the number of speeding arrests over 100 miles per hour was the highest, or was up by like something like 80% or 90% or something like that. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I can add to that. And last weekend was not a good day, because we may have set probably an all-time high in my career for a speeding ticket issued in Post 13, which is the Mount Pleasant District, 11 counties in southeast Iowa. One of our troopers encountered an individual driving 135 miles per hour last weekend. That person was stopped and, of course, cited.
How do you stop somebody going 135 miles an hour?
Well, you know, again, I don't know if it was a long pursuit, or, you know, it was one of those, hey, I just met a cop car, I'm going to let off the gas and pull over. I have not talked to that trooper about the exact encounter on that day. But the scary thing about that, and 135 miles an hour is scary enough, this was on a two-lane roadway.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, four-lane roadways present maybe a little bit of an opportunity, because you have additional space if something goes wrong. You've got another 12 feet to your left or right, depending on what lane you're in. When you're on a two-lane roadway and there is no shoulder and you're looking at a very minimal amount of distance before you cross that center line, that is incredibly fast. So we continue to see that statewide. It's not unique to Iowa. I think there's some nationwide movement from people that have talked about some of that stuff. And it certainly is not unique to the Iowa State Patrol. Every law enforcement agency that runs traffic has seen maybe an increase in some of those speeding tickets.
Drinking and driving. How big of a problem is it for the State Patrol? How big of a problem is it? Is it one of your biggest problems here in town too, Jeff?
I don't know that I would call it a huge problem. We've seen a bit of an uptick. I think part of that is the whole COVID epidemic or pandemic. People are looking for something to do. They're looking for an outlet. And unfortunately, that becomes, or drinking becomes part of that outlet, and then they get behind the wheel.
Jason,
yeah, I think as traffic counts increase, you're going to encounter some of those things. Clearly, during the first part of 2020, when traffic numbers were at maybe historic lows for a few months, obviously our OWI arrests, our drug arrests were down as well.
Well, we've got recreational marijuana right over there, right behind me, across that bridge. Have you noticed any change in terms of traffic stops with for cannabis?
I can tell you that from a District 13 standpoint, obviously we, you know, border the Illinois side all the way up to just south of Muscatine. I don't think we've seen a huge increase in specifics related to out-of-state travel. You know, you referenced Illinois,
right,
and we'll use that. I think there was some concern initially, but we really haven't seen that. I think the availability of those products is much broader than just across the river.
Okay.
And other states that may impact that travel through Iowa.
In other words, it wasn't necessarily bought at a specific cannabis registered location. Is that what you're telling me?
I think you've read into that very well.
All right, we're going to take a break. We've got the information officer of the Iowa State Patrol, Jason Marlowe, joining us, the acting chief, maybe soon to be the actual chief of the Burlington Police Department, Jeff Klein. We'll be back with more right after the news.
The snaps, the hits, the catches, QBs and TDs, first downs and penalties, end zones and overtimes. College football lives here on the Hawkeye Sports Network.
Iowa hosts Michigan State this Saturday with pregame at 9 and kickoff at 11. Brought to you by Standard of Beaverdale, Reinschmidt's Flooring America, the Danville State Savings Bank, and by Ritter's Garden Center and Landscaping on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Based high growth, rapidly changing culture and environment. Interested? Send your cover letter and resume to Pritchard Broadcasting, 610 North 4th Street, Suite 300, Burlington, Iowa, 52601. Or email marketing at burlingtonradio.com. No calls, please. Pritchard Broadcasting is an equal opportunity employer.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. Citizens are organizing a search effort to help find a missing Burlington man. Cheryl Bowman of Burlington is organizing a community search effort to help locate the body of Troy Lee Doherty of Burlington, who went missing back in July. Bowman said she was doing this in order to, quote, help his father get some closure and some answers. Groups will meet on Saturday, November 7th, at the Casey's on Des Moines Avenue near Highway 99, then search along the road. The Des Moines County Sheriff's Department, Burlington Police Department, and County Roads Department ask all drivers and possibly hunters in the area of Highway 99 to watch out for pedestrians who are part of this search effort. Test Iowa has announced Veterans Day hours for their testing sites. In observance of Veterans Day, the state-operated drive-through sites will close early at 12 p.m. on Tuesday, November 10th, to allow samples to be collected, transported, and processed at the state hygienics lab through Tuesday evening. Sites will be closed on Wednesday, November 11th for the holiday and will reopen the following day at 8 a.m. Individuals who wish to be tested at any site must first complete an online assessment at testiowa.com and schedule an appointment. Hospitalizations in Iowa continue to accelerate, reaching new heights with 777 people in hospitals and 164 additional people admitted over 24 hours. Another record was set in the past 24 hours Wednesday with 182 people in intensive care units with serious COVID-19 illness. Iowa doctors and hospital administrators have recently sounded alarms that increasing virus infections in the state will soon overwhelm hospitals if not reversed. Many are already dealing with high rates of virus infections among hospital staff, further reducing the ability to care for patients. Illinois recorded 7,538 new cases of the coronavirus Wednesday. It's the next to highest single-day count since the pandemic hit Illinois back in February. The state public health director, Dr. Ngozi Ezike, noted that the outcome of the presidential race, fought largely in part over the handling of the virus that has killed more than 235,000 Americans, does not absolve Illinois residents from doing all they can to prevent the spread of the virus. From the KBOR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump tweets, stop the count, and his campaign is now suing over ballots in Nevada, Georgia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Republican National Committee Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel tells Fox.
We're going to pursue these legal challenges, not just because we support President Trump, but we support the voters that stood hours in line that feel like they're being disenfranchised by votes being found in the middle of the night.
If the current Fox News calls stand, Joe Biden would have enough Electoral College votes to win the election if he's declared the winner in Nevada. Results there are expected around noon Eastern time. Biden's 72 million votes so far breaks Barack Obama's record in 2008. A judge in Minneapolis refuses a defense request to move the trial of four former police officers charged in George Floyd's death out of the city, also ruling that all four will be tried together. The officer who had his knee on Floyd's neck is charged with murder and manslaughter, the others with aiding and abetting. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
A sunny and mild day today with a high to 73 degrees. Southwest winds at 5 to 10. Mostly clear tonight. Look for a low down to 47. We'll see. Friday looks to be sunny and 72. Clear Friday night, a low down to 50. Saturday should be sunny and 71. Mostly sunny Sunday, 73. Partly sunny Monday, up to 75. And Tuesday, mostly cloudy, showers 70% likely, and a high to 56. Right now, we've got a generally sunny sky and now 59 degrees.
I've been on the internet looking for ways to get my home ready for winter.
Wow, you must have been at it for a long time because your hair's turned gray. Let's see, there's WikiHow, About House, DIY. How many did you look at?
I looked at just one. You know my favorite? It's onthehouse.com. It has so much home improvement information, you simply wouldn't believe it.
Hey, Morris, we are on the house with the Carey Brothers.
The Carey Brothers, Saturdays from 10 till 2 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Markets extend yesterday's gains on Wall Street at the open this morning. Stocks are in the green and on pace for the best election week performance in decades. Not so great job numbers out this morning. Another 750,000 people applied for unemployment benefits last week as companies continue to slice. In part of the country, it's too cold for restaurants to continue outdoor dining, so many are stopping that service and letting people go. Coronavirus infections at a record high. The U.S. just hit a one-day total of 100,000 for the first time. 10 times the number the country should have to get control of the virus, according to Dr. Fauci. Europe is on lockdown and heading for a double-dip recession. There's a little worry that could happen here. General Motors selling a lot of pickup trucks, which fueled better-than-expected earnings in the last quarter. Shares are jumping this morning. I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español.
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely going to help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et du vient tout.
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at babbel.com. Just go to babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's babbel.com. BABBEL.com.
It's time for an upgrade. Beneath your feet, with beautiful, durable new carpet from the Home Depot. And right now, free installation. Choose from a wide selection of styles. Order samples. Schedule a measure and installation, all online. It's never been easier to have carpet you love, right where you live. For new carpet and free installation, only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Free installation on carpet $4.99 or more and 99 cents or more per square foot. U.S. only.
Ever wonder where the capital A in Chick-fil-A came from? It started with grade A, top quality chicken. But we believed everything, not just the food, should be grade A.
My name is Chris, and I work at West Paces Ferry Chick-fil-A. The A in Chick-fil-A is for A game. My least favorite word is just. If ever you hear the word just, whatever comes behind it is not going to be somebody's A game, and you never hear that at Chick-fil-A.
The A in Chick-fil-A is for all the little things we do to bring you our best every day.
Real team member paid for their testimonial.
We can all agree 2020 hasn't been the best year, but at Standard of Beaverdale, we're hoping to make the best of it for the rest of it. It's actually our 50th anniversary. The Schwenker family's Standard Lumber Company opened its doors back in 1970. Now known as Standard of Beaverdale, our store is still family-owned and operated. We remain committed to fulfilling your lumber, appliance, and design needs, as well as now Carhartt clothing and so much more. Now is a great time to come out and see our selection of TVs and soundbars. We all love sports, and there's nothing better than a big, new, beautiful TV to watch them on. Get one now to be ready for the big games over the holidays. All of our TVs are smart 4K TVs. We have Samsung models in stock from 32 inches to 75 inches, and we can order Sony and LG for you as well, up to 85 inches. We are proud to provide delivery and installation on the TVs for a full service experience. Please come out and see us at Standard of Beaverdale in West Burlington, Iowa, to help us celebrate our anniversary. We can't wait to see you.
Everything you need to know and more on AM and FM. All your favorite programs and personalities with a cleaner, clearer signal and a larger nighttime coverage area. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?
And welcome back to the Peace Officer Talk Show today. Jason Marlowe, Information Officer with the Iowa State Patrol, headquartered in the Southeast Iowa District. We also have Jeff Klein. He is the Acting Chief of the Burlington Police Department, and we're talking about, you know, we're in an Indian, as we're doing this, it's an Indian summer day. We've had an Indian summer week, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that things are going to change, and we're going to go out, and in fact, there's some snowstorms up north. There was 6 inches of snow up in the Cedar Rapids area just a few weeks ago, with an early morning, early snowstorm. But, you know, I think the question that always comes up, and I know, is that we are creatures of habit, and I think that's an obvious thing. But when there's ice, snow, sleet, whatever it is, what is it about the first snowfall or the first winter event that seems to, it's like everybody forgot how to do what they were naturally, what they've been doing for decades. Jeff, what's the reason for that? Any idea?
You know, I don't know if I have a great answer. Jason and I were talking earlier. I officiate high school basketball, and the analogy that I used is I'll grab two or three junior high games before we get into the high school season just to see if my body remembers how to properly officiate a high school game. So like anything else, you forget about something out of sight, out of mind, and you haven't seen snow since this time last year. You're going to drive like you've been driving for the last 6 months. And then all of a sudden, well, I better pay a little closer attention.
Well, we talked about the fact that you're used to getting into that car at the same time every day, Monday through Friday, typically. And if there's ice or if there's snow, if you haven't gone out now, she used to have, I'm not sure if they still do, but she used to have snow days, okay? That was when the school would be canceled because there was snow. I've always had anti-snow days. The worse the weather, the earlier I have to be here. But I also know that means that I have a different routine that I do. I'll go out and make sure the car is warm, and if it's been parked outside, that it's cleaned off, and before I do any of the other routine things I do to get ready to come in the morning. But not everybody does that. I think that's something that and I see a lot of times people that are driving, particularly, and they've only made enough of a hole to basically allow you to, it's sort of like a periscope. That is, if I'm right, that's against the law, isn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, you have to have a completely clear windshield for that field of vision, and it's just not safe to have that small a field of vision in order to properly operate your vehicle. You're not only out there responsible for yourself, but you have to be aware of the other drivers around
you as well.
I'm
bringing it up because you have a new facility now, and I know that it was talked about when you had that new facility that you were going to have an area that you could park patrol cars pretty much out of the snow or out of the sleet or out of those things. Is that in operation, or is that still a phase that needs to be done?
No, we have an enclosed parking area at the southeast corner of our building. There are overhangs from the old U.S. Bank that allow our squad cars to back in underneath those to essentially keep them out of the weather. Obviously, we don't have a completely enclosed area, so some of our unmarked vehicles or animal control parking enforcement, those vehicles are still exposed to the weather. But we want to make sure that we can provide that immediate service to the citizens, so we make sure that our squads are ready to go.
What's the biggest problem you face? I know that I know you had a number of accidents on when we had that surprise snowstorm, a number of accidents out on I-80 in particular, because that's really where it came. It just came in right down the I-80 for an area of maybe about a 50-mile an area and by the Cedar Rapids area. Not being able to stop or sliding, or what causes the issue that is the biggest winter issue that you have to deal with?
Sure, and I think the mindset of getting back into that phase of driving is incredibly important. And we typically will see, as the winter season drags on, the number of crashes actually go down. And it doesn't matter how severe the storm is, in late January, early February. And it's because most drivers that travel in the Midwest have fairly decent skill sets of operating during those times. We've seen a few events by then, but it's that first one that really catches us off guard. So the two things to probably remember would be the decrease in speed. The speed limits on less than ideal days are the least of your concern as a motorist. You could be traveling, 20, 30, 40 miles an hour below that speed limit at given times. The other would be that increase in following distance, as you mentioned, stopping.
Right.
And instead of thinking, okay, I'm going to be able to put the brakes on here and know that my car is going to stop in time for the red light or the stop sign, increasing that following distance between yourself and the vehicle that you're following is going to allow you for a little extra room.
The other thing we've heard more often than not, make sure your tires have plenty of adequate tread so that you can go through snow. And if you're a four-wheel drive don't believe the four-wheel drive is going to give you any additional aid on ice.
Yeah, and we see that obviously in kind of this part of Iowa, the southeast corner, that freezing rain slash snow band line kind of dances around the Illinois, Iowa, Missouri border quite often. If you're way up in northern Iowa, you see kind of a consistency. You had some experience with that way back in Decorah, and you understand winters when you live in northeast Iowa.
We call it where the tall snow grows.
There you go. but down here, we could see some different precipitation factors, and it could change during your commute. What may start out as just rain, you watch that temperature go down on your internal thermometer
then
on your car.
It's freezing
and then
rain.
It freezes, and then you have ice. And
is freezing rain? Would you both agree? Freezing rain is the worst of any of the things that can happen for anybody that's a driver.
I think so. It's a huge challenge for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, but it's okay. And but obviously they have done. We had Nick McGregor on, and he was saying, they have made great advances in pre-treatment. Basically, if they think there's going to be an event like that, and as long as the temperature is within that tolerable range, they can pre-treat and help make that less of a problem. We've got a lot of hills in Burlington. I bet you probably already know that.
We've been through a few, yes.
Yeah, and I know that the Central Avenue Hill is one of the most problem areas of all, isn't it?
It's probably close. As you mentioned, Nick does a phenomenal job with planning and preparation when it comes to road surfaces, when it comes to incoming weather, and conveys that information to his staff. So it's kudos to the entire public works group and the shop that Nick runs out there. As far as roads to be concerned about in Burlington, yes, Central Avenue is incredibly hilly, so we want to make sure that we're safe there. But any road that has a long stretch without any stop to it, whether that be Division running from Plain all the way to Roosevelt or Sunnyside, the length of Sunnyside, if you're on a stretch of road where you have a tendency to build up speed on a dry day, you may revert back to that in your own mind that you're safe to do that when it's wet or snowy. So we want to make sure that you or you utilize caution in those areas.
One of the things I did and I've done over the years is I've lived in different places around the city. I used to live up on the top of the hill on River Street for a number of years, and it used to be I had a different route if it was winter time. I had a different route in the wintertime than I did in the spring or in the summertime, or spring, summer, or fall. When it was winter, try and find the flattest area you can to get to where you need to go. Avoid hills if at all possible, because you know that that's going to be the biggest problem area. And I would recommend it strongly to anybody else. Hey, if you if you've got a route and you're not sure if you think it's going to be icy or snowy, or if it is icy or snowy, don't take that route that is involving hills, or you're going to be sorry. It's going to be a problem area. 949 at KBUR. Peace officers joining us today. We'll talk more about what is happening in law enforcement right after this.
The Notre Dame girls will play for a 1A state tournament volleyball championship tonight facing Gladbrook Rhinebeck. Join Casey Fleming for all the action brought to you by Deary Brothers Automotive and Brad Deary Honda, Weinschmidt's Flooring America, the Pilot Grove Savings Bank, Bob Dodds Insurance, Pizza Ranch, the Danville State Savings Bank, Courtesy Door, Ritter's Garden Center, and Standard of Beaverdale. Notre Dame Gladbrook Rhinebeck state tournament championship volleyball 7:45 tonight on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR and KBUR.com.
It's preview week. Go to bidonburlington.com and check out what's going up on the auction block this Sunday. You've got a long list of people on your shopping list for the holidays, and we've got a long list of gift options at bidonburlington.com, including Samsung electric stove from Aaron's, Tundra walking treadmill from Bickles, private pottery session for four from the Arts Center of Burlington, wedding package from Cambry House and Farm, 6-month membership to Great River Health Fitness, season pass to Flint Hills Golf Course, Bikini Body Tanning Butter and Coco Shea Butter Moisturizer from The Tannery, Power Recliner Love Seat from Derby's Furniture Company, Game Table Package from Burlington by the Book, Nylon Saddle from Horse and Hound Country Store, and more. Holiday gift ideas abound at the BidOnBurlington.com auction, November 8th through the 15th, with a special sneak preview going on now. Register to bid today. That's BidOnBurlington.com, brought to you by Pritchard Broadcasting. To learn more, check out our website.
Do you worry too much or not enough about securing your network, website, email, and backing up your data? Hi, this is Mary Beth at JNS Electronic Business Systems. We custom build managed IT solutions, which can include the flexible, resilient cloud services you need. Live worry-free in the cloud so you can focus on what drives the success of your business. It's what we do for you. For service you can rely on, call us or visit us at jselectronics.com.
Free Talk Live.
You don't really know, do you? You don't really know what you want besides chaos.
A bloody revolution in the streets is
You want a bloody revolution? Violent revolution just results in more violence in the future because the people who were the most violent are the ones that rise to power. Whoopee-doo, you've changed out one gang of criminals for another gang of thugs.
Free Talk Live, weeknights from 11 till midnight on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were 8 and you had bad traits, you go to school and learn the golden rule.
And welcome back. We've got Jason Marlowe. He's the information officer with the Iowa State Patrol. We also have Jeff Klein. He is the acting chief of the Burlington Police Department for the moment. School laws or school bus, I guess what, violations. We pretty much done through the first quarter or so, and it seems to be, at least over the years, it's been one of the most problem areas that, that you've had to deal with. I think Highway 61 is one of the areas. I know we talked, Jason, about the fact that that, particular stretch right there, it's four lane, but you're going to have, but there seems to be an inordinate number of violations on that particular stretch of road. Is that still the case?
Yeah, and we're specifically talking, you know, between basically Weaver and Burlington, and even in the Fort Madison district, when you get down into Lee County on 61, I think they've had some issues as well. I think for the most part, as you mentioned, we've been pretty fortunate here in the beginning of the school year. We still have a handful of bus violations that will trickle into our office weekly. I'm sure the police departments can attest to some of that as well. And I think overall, the vast majority of them, when investigated, because it is a required investigation by state law, you have to do some follow-up, ask a bunch of questions. A lot of the buses now have video that make that investigation much more simpler than it used to be. But a lot of people are just maybe, you know, not seeing the bus, and that's a hard concept for me to wrap my mind around, but that's one of the answers we hear a lot.
It's a fairly expensive violation, if
I'm right.
It is.
The ticket can be, or the assessed fine through the court can be incredibly expensive, and then it could also be a suspendable part of your license. The state of Iowa changed that a few years ago. I think it's referred to as Caden's Law, and they put a little bit more teeth into a bus violation based on some of the unfortunate bus incidents that had happened around the state.
Well, now, I've not been on the road a lot for obvious reasons, but the last time my wife and I actually went out of town, we were on I-80, and there was somebody, there was two cars that for whatever reason were going, no, it was two, excuse me, it was two semis that they were running side by side. And blocking the road. And particularly as you're going on an uphill, everything slowed down. And basically all the traffic got backed up behind there. Is there any, if I'm right, in Iowa, is that the left lane is for passing only, isn't it?
Well, we haven't put that into the teeth of the law or a specific law saying that left lane travel is illegal for, you know, X amount of miles or distance or even time frame. There are some states that have enacted that, I think Illinois being one of them. We would strongly encourage people to travel in the right-hand lane when possible, unless you're overtaking for that very reason. Because if you get two vehicles that are side-by-side, especially on a busy stretch of road, 380 between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, Interstate 80 especially from Des Moines coming east. It thins out a little bit when you're headed west towards Council Bluffs from Des Moines on 80. But, yeah, you can back up cars. That leads to impatience and then a whole bunch of other scenarios that could play out.
We've had a recent study came out saying that distracted driving, whether you these little devices that everybody has in their hands or cars or whatever, is basically virtually equal to drunken driving in terms of causing automobile problems, automobile crashes. Have you found that to be the case, either one of you?
Jason would probably be able to allude to it better than I would. In the city itself, we've been pretty fortunate when it comes to that.
Jason, what about that?
Yeah, I think distracted driving is severely underreported when you look at causation of crashes.
Texting and driving especially.
Yeah, because we in Iowa still do it the old-fashioned way. We ask people. Now, if there is an incident of major proportions, a fatality crash, a serious injury crash with maybe multiple people, then you start getting into opportunities to look at phones and maybe a track record with subpoenas through the court system. But if it's a fender bender crash where everybody's okay and the only thing we've really torn up are the cars, the officers investigating are just going to ask people, were you on your phone? I think we all know that the answer from the vast majority of people is probably going to be no. I know I wouldn't do that. It's against the law. And some follow-up may be warranted, but for the most part, we're still on the honor system.
Okay, real quickly, your favorite excuse, pulled somebody over for speeding. What's your favorite excuse that somebody has ever given you?
Well, there's a bunch of them, I'm sure, and I probably should have started writing them down over the years. Some of them you hear maybe more often, and they no longer affect you near as much. But I always tell people, the honesty of the situation still probably can help you. It doesn't mean that, as I alluded to earlier, if you're going 135 miles an hour and you tell our trooper, hey, I was doing that, can I get a warning? The honesty is irrelevant at that point. But in some situations, I think officers probably do appreciate, that person telling the truth.
Officer discretion, honesty is still the best policy, right?
Absolutely, no question.
Okay. It is, but again, we talked about distracted driving, texting while driving. That is against the law. It's against the law everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, I think probably most states have now enacted something on the books similar to Iowa, whether it's hands-free in Illinois
I'm going to bring up a name, Eddie Marsh. Eddie Marsh was the champion of seatbelt law violations. Do we still have seatbelt law violations in Iowa? And since Eddie is retired, are we still doing as well? Jeff?
Yes, we still have the seatbelt law. As far as doing as well, I think the education process over the years has taken hold, and we find that more people are actually complying with that.
Would you agree with that?
I would agree on a survey standpoint, and even just in observations, I think more people wear their seatbelt. What worries me is when I look at the fatality rates, where it's estimated that nearly 50% of our fatalities aren't buckled up. So that kind of goes against the grain of 90-plus percent wearing them if, in fact, when they crash. So we still need people to buckle up.
And even though you might have airbags on their side, airbags in the front, not having a seatbelt on, that will mute a lot of the effectiveness of the airbag. Is that right?
Yeah, you want to take full advantage of all of the safety features, but still the number one safety item in that vehicle is a seatbelt.
Okay, and the biggest violation that anyone's, I mentioned distracted driving. There's an awful lot of other distractions that are out there as well. Plus, we've also got a lot of cars that are self-driving. They're not necessarily self-driving, but I drove one that has had lane finder, but it doesn't always work right.
A lot of technology is going to be coming at us rapidly in the next few years.
All right. Jason Marlowe, Jeff Klein, thank you both for being with me today. Have a great month of November. Let's hope that the weather can stay mild the next time we meet, okay?
Sounds good, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Your news and